You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning. Thanks for joining me. I'm keen to get through as many calls as we can today. So I know that many of you have opinions of all kinds and on all kinds of topics. So let's get the ball rolling as quickly as we can, shall we? And you can do that by joining me on the show and dialing straight through to the phones on the online, if you like, if Aberdeen 40 10 35. What am I gibbering about today? Give me your views. And so what can we talk about? Well, there's the call by Councillor Kevin Stewart, who is now an MSP, of course, for the introduction of a chewing gum tax, with the money going towards the bill for cleaning up the stuff. We've heard a little bit about that on our news bulletins this morning, but if Mr. Stewart is listening to the programme, then maybe he'll give us a call and explain the thinking behind this. I'd like to hear your views too, dear listener. Is it possible to impose such a tax? Shouldn't we just be banning the stuff altogether? Or maybe that would impinge on the human rights of the chewing gum consumers. Aberdeen 40 10 35 is the number to call. I want to hear your thoughts this morning. And here's another story you may have come across during the course of the past few days. It's about the police officer in Glasgow who couldn't be bothered arresting a suspected robber. Her dereliction of duty was unearthed and she was jailed for a year. Now, was the sheriff who imposed such a sentence going way over the top, or did she deserve to be incarcerated? Let's get those calls in as quickly as we can this morning, please. Aberdeen 40 10 35. And of course, protesters against the Aberdeen bypass, who lost their efforts to block the building of the road, say they may now appeal. Now, this would hold up the work, which actually is yet to start. But now an online petition to get these things underway has been set up. Thoughts on that one as well, please. And here's another one for you. Aberdeen City Council has been praised by Audit Scotland for the way they've tackled their financial problems. So do they deserve such a pat on the back? Or should they get a clip round the ear for their service cuts? Looking forward to hearing from you between now and midday on any of the issues that are on your mind this morning. Let's go to the phone lines and let's talk to Ali. Good morning, Ali.
Morning, Frank.
How are you today?
Very well.
Good.
Enjoying this lovely Aberdeen weather. The council, the tax on the chewing gums,
yeah.
Ridiculous. I mean, I agree there's a problem,
yeah.
But it's an absolutely ridiculous suggestion. How are they going to enforce it? How are they going to police it?
Well, I think the thinking is this, and Kevin Stewart, if he's listening, might phone in and just clarify some of these issues. But if you say to the chewing gum manufacturers, like, we're going to tax you, give you an extra tax on your sales, and that tax will go towards cleaning up the mess that people leave.
Yeah, but it won't go there. It'll go somewhere else. It's just trying to tax people again and again, more tax. And, I mean, the council should be taken to task more over sensible issues like the mess they're going to wait. I mean, I'm hoping the pictures we've seen in the evening paper of the Triple Kirks development is just a very, very rough idea.
You're not keen on that?
It's beyond belief. I mean, you could go to any school in Aberdeen and any pupil could draw a better building than that. It's basically three or four boxes.
Yeah.
I mean, for Kate Dean to say it's got the wow factor, I mean, she seriously needs to phone in and justify that statement, because, I mean, the only wow factor I hope that has is if it surely won't get passed and the people will say, wow, that was close.
But
because
yeah.
I mean, it's in an architectural area, a very sensitive area.
Uh-huh.
And I think I read that she said it would blend in with the bus shelter. You know the thing they call the cafe next to the theatre, the big glass box?
Oh, yes. There. Is that what they call it? They call it the bus shelter.
It's called the bus shelter, right, because it's just like a bus shelter. It's just a big square glass thing. And in Aberdeen, I mean, if that is the very best, Frank, that architects can do today, I'm maybe being unfair, maybe that was just an artist's impression of what it's going to be, but if that is the best architects can do, it beggars belief.
All right. Before we go on, Ali, there are two challenges here. I need to hear from an architect who thinks that's a good design,
yeah,
or thinks it's a bad one. And we need to hear from Councillor Kate Dean, who is the convener of infrastructure and planning, and why she thinks that would give us the wow factor, right?
Well, so the council itself, Frank, didn't want a glass box. I mean, they got offered one, and I'm sorry to say that site has been left in such a mess for so long that the council are desperate for anything. It's like a hungry dog will eat a rotting rabbit. So it's one of those things that they're accepting anything. And if that does go ahead, we should definitely start a window cleaning business, because if Union Terrace debacle goes ahead as well, this is going to be the city of glass boxes.
Well, listen, here's another issue. The money to build, shall we say, something more elaborate, which would be in keeping with the Triple Kirks, it would be astronomical, wouldn't it?
Yes, but I'm not saying we should go back to the beautiful architecture that surrounds it and stuff. But to cover up the steeple to cover it and case it in glass. I'm not saying for one minute that we could afford to build beautiful architecture like there was before.
No.
And modern architecture can be beautiful as well. But surely, Frank, there should be some sympathy to the area. And not just these boxes plunked on top of one another. I mean, they're absolutely ridiculous. I haven't spoken to anyone who thinks it's in any way nice. Where Kate Dean gets that wow from is beyond belief. And have you ever been in town with any visitors or anybody you've met in town? Has anybody ever said to you, I really like that glass box next to the theatre? Isn't it wonderful to see that next to the lovely HMT building? Because I've never heard anyone say that.
No, one of my very good friends is an architect, and he can't believe what he's seeing.
Yeah, same here. I mean, how anyone would want to try and blend in with that is shocking, and it worries me considerably that these planning people say that that's got a wow factor.
Yeah.
It's certainly got a wow factor, but not for the reason she's saying.
Okay, Ali.
Okay, Frank, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
No problem.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye. Bye. Let's speak to Norman. Good morning, Norman.
Good morning, Frank.
What do you think of that, little, before we go on to talk about your subject, what do you think about that one?
Okay, anything that's proposed for Aberdeen, it seems to be a lot of shouting and screaming, and in the end, probably nothing will be done. 10 years down the line, the Triple Kirks will still be standing in a derelict state, so I don't think there's any point anyone getting themselves all uptight about it, because just like anything in this city, it never gets past. There's objectors, etc. So I think we should just let sleeping dogs lie, and it'll die a death again, and the Triple Kirks will be there in 20 years' time in the same state they're in.
And presumably that's that's what you think too about the bypass, or is that going to go ahead?
Well, the bypass, these objectors are exceedingly small-minded, narrow-minded. At least 90% of the population of Aberdeen are for the bypass. Mm-hmm. It's been on the go since 1948, I believe, mm-hmm. First talked about. These objectors are so narrow-minded. They don't want their exceedingly expensive houses in Mill Timber to be reduced in value. They forget about the people who have exceedingly expensive houses in Anderson Drive, North, South, and Anderson Drive, who've been putting up with trucks trundling up and down the road for years and years and years. It's about time that the Scottish government got tough. Let's take a leaf out of the French people's government's books. Let's get this bypass on the way and out of the way. That would have happened if this had been in Glasgow. The bypass would have been built by now.
Mind you, you say that, but you look at you look at Edinburgh, for example, and what's happening with the trams there. What a disaster that's been.
That's an absolute disaster. And what does that say about Scottish politics?
Yeah.
All in all, it's an absolute shambles. They should have just left Edinburgh as it was. And as for the chewing gum, ban the stuff. Ban it.
Yeah.
Take a leaf out of Singapore's book and ban it. If someone wants to give up smoking, or instead of chewing gum, suck a toffee or something like that,
uh-huh.
just ban it, then we wouldn't have this this problem.
Well, it's dreadful because the council, for example, I think that they've spent something like £400,000 on a clean-up operation. And yet, you know, you go back. I walked along in front of Marshall College the other day,
mm-hmm.
and with all the new paving, it's rather nice. And you could start to see the beginnings of the end, if you like, in terms of the chewing gum going down.
Absolutely. It's rather nice, but it's only half finished. You've got the church at the end there, which looks absolutely awful.
It detracts.
It's a beautiful building, and then this. Yeah. Why on earth couldn't they just finish the job, even if it didn't belong to them, just finish the job, even if they just did the front of it, cleaned the front of it to make it look good, but it's a half-finished job. And I took people who are over from Canada down to see Marshall College, and they said, why have we not completed it?
Yeah.
And it's a joke. Just like the Western Peripheral Bypass, these objectors are an absolute, utter joke. And they should get real to this world. We need the bypass. And I'm sorry if I'm sounding rather fed up. I've been speaking to you for years about this, Frank.
I know. Nothing changes.
Nothing changes. Oh, Donald Trump doesn't want the wind farm off the coast because it'll spoil its view. I think it's rather pleasant looking out at sea and looking at nice windmills.
Yes.
everybody is objecting to absolutely everything.
Well, we'll no doubt be discussing this next
year. In Allan Vale, but in 30 years' time, nothing will have changed.
Okay, Norman.
Okay.
Good to hear from you.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Right,
bye. Well, do you agree with Norman? He thinks that we're not going anywhere really with any of these proposals, are we? Let's hear what your thoughts are. Chewing gum. Can we do something about the mess? What about the plans for this £40 million office development at the Triple Kirks? Is Ali Stewart right? Is it going to give us the wow factor for all the wrong reasons? Give me a call on Aberdeen 401035.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Welcome back to the programme. Well, we've had some controversial views already this morning on one or two issues locally, one of which was the proposal for a £40 million office development which will encase in glass the Triple Kirks. What do you think of that one? Some people think it's a good idea, but others, like Ali Stewart, who's been on the phone already this morning, is thinking that we're going to need a full team of window cleaners the way all these glass buildings are cropping up all over the place. What do you think of these proposals? Give me a call on Aberdeen 401035. And you may also like to comment on the thoughts of Kevin Stewart, MSP, who says we should do something drastic and trying to clear our streets of chewing gum. And that's something drastic, he reckons, should be to tax the chewing gum manufacturers. He's going to ask George Osborne, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, to try and do something about that. Is he on the right track on this one? Or should we just ban the stuff altogether? Are you a chewing gum chewer? Or have you come across people who do, in fact, chuck the stuff away in the street and make a complete and utter mess of our pavements? Let's hear what your thoughts are on Aberdeen 401035. And the other thing I wanted comments on this morning was the story about the police officer, WPC, in Glasgow, who says he was too busy because he was en route to another call to do anything about somebody who was clearly, allegedly I should say, breaking into a shop at 5:30 in the morning with a toolkit. And I think the person claimed he was fixing something. However, she had said that she was not, she didn't believe him, but she was too busy to do anything about it. She was reported and charged, and her dereliction of duty got her a year in prison. Wow, that seems a bit harsh, or does it? Let's know what you think. Aberdeen 401035. Let's go and speak to Raymond. Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning, Frank. How are you,
sir? I'm fine. How are you?
I'm quite well.
Have you battened down the hatches this morning to get rid of these gales?
Oh, yeah. I've been putting my pots back up because I'm getting blown over.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yep.
What's on your mind this morning?
Well, this police woman that was jailed.
Yeah.
I can understand what you're trying to prove.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it came down a bit heavy on her.
Yes.
I mean, okay, was it just laziness or stupidity? I mean, if her attitude was that, when it was a near breaking.
Yeah. Well, I think what she clearly suspected this guy was going to break into the shop.
Yeah,
it's 5:30 in the morning, and normally a police officer would certainly take somebody like that in for questioning, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but she took his tools that he was using off.
Yeah, she took the tools from him, that's right.
But let him go.
But let him go, yeah.
You know, if that had been somebody's house,
yeah,
what could have possibly happened?
Mm-hmm.
I think she was just being a bit silly. And I think lazy, probably. But I don't think she should have been jailed.
Well, I think that's taking the wind out of a lot of people's sails. I mean, yeah, should she have been jailed? Probably not. And should she have been given a year? My goodness.
I think she should possibly be sacked, paid off.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know, it's really, it sounds like it's very, very heavy-handed. And I guess, you know, you wonder what police officers will think about that. Because they must, that must come out as a big, big warning.
Well, I think actually that because what happened there is, could you imagine every police officer doing that? It would just make a fool of the police force. If it wouldn't be called a force after that, would it?
No, that's true.
It would just be called a bunch of dizzies wandering about in suits.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, this woman, she'll probably be out in 6 months, but that's beside the point. 6 months is a long, long time for such a life.
It's a bit silly, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit silly, yeah. Okay, Raymond.
Okay, just one little thing here.
Yes,
about the chewing gum?
Yes.
Fines and getting taxed on it?
Uh-huh.
What a bull.
Yeah, but what do we do about this? Because we, the council taxpayer, are paying fortunes to clean up the streets because people are too lazy to put their chewing gum in the bin.
Yeah, well, they just spit it out, do they?
Yeah, they do. And, that you know, so it's difficult to, you know, if you can't catch these people, obviously. So what do you do? It's, you know, Kevin Stewart is trying something different to see. I don't think it will succeed, but at least he's thinking, well, how are we going to try and combat this? We can't keep footing the bill for cleaning up our pavements. So how about taxing the chewing gum people?
Yeah, but even then, tax them. Chewing gum goes up, people will still chew it, and you get back onto the street again, outside the shops and such like, and what you got to do is you got employed people to spy on people that are chewing chewing gum, and watch them as they throw it onto the street, then find them.
Well, if only you could catch them. I mean, I think far too many people litter our streets and get away with it. You know, I never see anybody being fined. I never read about anybody being fined for littering the streets, which it would be nice if you could see a couple of these things, and that would send out a warning, wouldn't it?
Well, actually, I walk along the street. I've got more chance of standing in dog waste.
Yeah.
Than I have in standing a piece of chewing gum.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But the idea of what was that easier, was it?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Raymond, thanks for making your points again this morning.
Okay, thanks.
Good to hear from you.
Okay, bye.
Bye then. Let's talk to Marlene. Good morning, Marlene.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You
chew, do you chew chewing gum?
No, I don't.
Do you not? what do you think of this idea then?
Well, I think Norman, I was listening to Norman on the radio, and he is right. I thought, at last, somebody with some sense, ban it.
Yeah.
Why do they need chewing gum? And all the other things he spoke about as well, he was spot on. Why put everything they're doing in Aberdeen to the vote? Union Terrace Garden, hardly anybody uses it. The wind things at Bunyady, go ahead. The Hardigan, go ahead. Why is there so much debate about everything? The bypass.
Yeah. So people are getting fed up, aren't they? Because nothing seems to happen.
Definitely.
It drags on and on and on. But when you consider it, Marlene, I think it took something like 25 years after the oil industry came to Aberdeen before they had a dual carriageway between here and Dundee.
Yes, that's right.
I can never understand why, you know, people drag their heels in getting things done in this country. Let's take the issues one by one. Chewing gum, nothing's going to happen.
No,
you think it should be banned?
Yes.
Would we get away with that?
I don't see why not. They ban loads of other things. I mean, why not ban chewing gum? Why do they need chewing gum? There's plenty other things in the market besides chewing gum.
Yes, it's not like it's a life and death thing, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No. It's the same as Union Street. We used to be proud of our city, Aberdeen, but now there's nothing. You go down Union Street, half the shops are closed. It's just an eyesore.
Mm-hmm.
Why they expect tourists to come here when there's so much to be done and they're not doing it?
Yeah, the tourism, that's another thing. You know, we desperately try and bring tourists to this part of the country. But, you know, apart from the castles and golf, you know, fabulous golf courses, but if you're not a golfer, and there's only so many castles you can look at. What else are we going to look at? So you're sounding pretty down in the dumps about us.
Oh, do I? No, I just think Aberdeen has got nothing now. There's so many debates and arguments about what they're going to do, and they do absolutely nothing. It just goes on for years and years. It's the same as the bypass at Northumber.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous just going on and on. Just go ahead and do it.
And let me ask you, before we've got to go in a minute, take a break, but let me ask you this. What do you think of the idea to encase the Triple Kirks with this glass thing?
Have you seen
the drawings of it? Have you seen the artist's impression?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I saw it in the newspapers, and that's ridiculous as well.
You don't like that?
No, I don't like it at all. We need some history in Aberdeen. We have got history.
Yeah.
But why do away with the history we've got?
Yeah.
Do something with it, not encase it in glass. I know it's an eyesore the way it is.
It is, isn't it?
It's part of our heritage, is it?
Yeah, well, is it now? People, you know, new generation coming up, they never remember. I never remember the Triple Kirks as they used to be. And so, these new young people coming up just don't remember it. But
new young people come up, yes. I'm 62, I do remember.
Do you remember? Of course, I'm not an Aberdonian, so I only came here about 40 something years ago, and I can't remember the Triple Kirks ever being intact.
It has been an eyesore for a long time.
Yeah.
But as I say, we need change in Aberdeen. We do need it.
Yes, but it's too slow.
It's far too slow.
Okay.
Nothing will happen. But lucky if I see anything happening the way things are going.
Mm-hmm.
And they should go ahead. Never mind putting it to debates or putting it to people and just do it. They've got a good idea, but they just don't go ahead and do it.
Okay. Good, Marlene. Nice to hear from you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Right, we've got some callers waiting. We've got Doug, Jim's waiting as well. But I think what we're going to do now, so we can get a kind of full throttle with the next lot of calls, is have a break. Give us a call with your thoughts on Aberdeen 401035.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Let's go to the phone lines again. Talk to Doug. Good morning, Doug.
Morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine, Frank, thanks.
What about your thoughts on the chewing gum thing?
Well, I mean, you've had the people in saying ban chewing gum.
Yeah.
So are you going to ban smoking because people flick their cigarette ends onto the street as well?
Yeah.
I mean, chewing gum is a multi-million pound industry.
Uh-huh.
It's something that you would find very hard to ban. And I mean, yes, there is a responsible people who just throw it onto the street. Just the other week, my daughter came home from the cinema with the chewing gum stuck to her top.
Yes.
Because somebody had stuck it to an arm on the chair.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
But I would find it very hard to ban. And as I say, it snowballs from there. Are you going to ban your fast food restaurants because people just throw their litter into the street once they've finished.
Yeah,
what they eat.
I think the thing I would say to that is, Doug, that at least with litter, it can be swept up.
That's true, but it still costs money to do that.
Sure, yeah, but I mean, you see these, occasionally see these guys who are trying to steam off the chewing gum off the pavement, so it seems to take an age to get a little bit of pavement done.
That's true, but I mean...
You mentioned about the ban, though. Of course, Singapore famously bans the stuff. You can't get chewing gum in Singapore.
Yeah.
So the great thing is, well, you never see any litter in Singapore. You certainly never see chewing gum stuff because it's not available. So I know what you're saying. It would be impossible, I think, to ban it, especially now. I suppose if you were to wipe the slate clean and start again, you could impose all kinds of bans or penalties.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. But it's not really feasible, is it?
It's far from feasible.
But what about taxing? What about Kevin Stewart's idea of taxing, putting an additional tax on chewing gums so that we can get that tax back to help clean up the streets?
Yeah, I mean, you could do that, but I mean, people will still buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never smoked, but I mean, you're what for a packet of cigarettes now? £5 something?
No idea.
Because of the tax and the whatever.
Yeah.
So people still buy cigarettes.
Yes.
So it's something that it may go towards the cost of cleaning up.
Sure.
But
it's not feasible to ban it.
Certainly not feasible to ban it now.
Okay, Doug. Good to hear your point of view this morning.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's hear your thoughts on the chewing gum issue or anything else, indeed. Give us a call on Aberdeen 4810 35 as we speak to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, good morning, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. What about you? What's on your mind this morning?
These protesters out at Meltemba with regard to the bypass.
Yes.
I wasn't shocked when I read it in the paper. They now want more taxpayers' money to pay for their legal fees. You know, in a time when we're cutting benefits for the unemployed because the country apparently can't afford it,
mm-hmm.
we're cutting benefits for the disabled people, trying to get them back into work because they're this and they're that, and we can't afford this and we can't afford that, but yet we can afford to pay legal fees for millionaires out the road at Meltemba and Bealeside to fight a bypass challenge. I think that's terrible. I really do.
Well, I think the disappointing thing from the point of view of many people who want to see this thing going ahead is that they had their day in court, if you like. It failed. They lost, but still they want to. You know, the people who wanted to go ahead are now totally fed up that the another appeal may be on the cards.
Yeah.
We haven't heard for definite yet, but they're certainly discussing. They're saying that the decision was legally flawed.
Yeah, but it's four times. They've had a go, Frank. Four times. The public inquiry.
Yeah.
They went to court. They lost the judicial review. And, you know, in the court of public opinion, they've lost hands down. They've lost at the Artists' Convention, which they still keep going on about.
Yeah.
They took the case to there, which it was kicked out. We're speaking about four times here, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has somebody got to tell them to wise up? You know what I mean? It's just a joke. It really is. And we all know what the situation is, that they want to delay it as long as possible. So somebody's going to turn around and say, okay, I'm sorry, it's too expensive. It won't be built.
Yeah.
You know, but that's really what gets up my nose. The backers are millionaires up there. And I know one of them for a fact, one of the richest landowners in Scotland is asking old-age pensioners, unemployed people, to pay his legal fees for this action. And I find it absolutely disgusting. I really do, that they've got to get old-age pensioners to pay their legal fees for them. If I go to court, if I sue somebody and I don't get legal aid, which they've got,
yeah.
I have to pay the cost. If I lose, I have to pay the cost in full. Every penny I have to pay.
Yeah.
And that's really what annoys me. Some, you know, that four times I've lost, Frank.
Yeah, it's going on a bit long now, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, it's just a joke. It really is.
Okay. Well, Jim, thanks again for hearing that and for telling us that, and also throw out a challenge to any member of Road Sense who may be listening.
I noticed all the times I've listened to your programme, and I listen to it every Sunday if I can, if I'm not working.
Yeah.
Not one of them have come on to justify their stance.
Well,
one of them.
There you
are. So the challenge is...
Let's hear from you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, Frank.
Thanks a lot. We're from one Jim to another. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well. What's on your mind this morning?
With the chewing gum. What was Sir Alec Ferguson doing if he bought the chewing gum?
There you are. You would be a brave man to try and tell Fergie he's not the chewing gum.
Yes.
Well, that's true, yeah. Now, listen, here's an interesting thought. I didn't think about that. He chucks his chewing gum, and I think there's a receptacle of some...
Did you see the one on the BBC, so he picked up a chewing gum and put it in his mouth?
Oh, really? I didn't see that. But I did see one thing, I think it was last season, might have been the season before, where a fan at the end of a game went on and picked up a piece of chewing gum that he had chewed and tried to sell it on eBay.
Oh, no, I think that's the one he picked up himself with it in his mouth. Yes. Another manager do the same.
Yeah, I think.
Remember when he done a good song?
Yes.
The tune got lost his flavour on the bedpost overnight.
That's right, yeah. That was one of the earliest songs I ever learned. Does your chewing gum lose its flavour on the
bedpost
overnight?
Yes.
And the next line was, if your mother says don't chew it, do you swallow it in spite? Chewing gum. So, yes.
I don't think we couldn't ban it,
could we?
No.
But could we put a tax on it?
Could we a tax, yes.
That might be an idea. This is Kevin Stewart, MSP's idea.
Yes.
We tax chewing gum so that the tax is,
you see,
is given...
You throw everything down now. You see, same as litter. They couldn't care less for the environment.
No.
The same in the country. It just chucks off with the motor cars and everything. It's just a disgrace. You see, another thing with the point, the chip shop up in Woodhay, the band, they're trying to get another chip shop where the police box is.
That's right, yes.
Hazelhead,
yes.
It's like the one, remember, in Great Western Road. The people objected to one there, mate.
And what happened there?
I think they got past with their own, but there's a lot of objections.
And the objections is, one of the objections that centres on the amount of litter, I guess, that's going to be created.
Well.
I think that's a big problem. If you go at lunchtime outside many of the junk food places which accommodate school children, will see a lot of litter.
Yes.
And I cannot believe that nothing's been...
And
the seagulls, yes.
Yes.
Oh, it's not a nice place to be these days, is it, Jim? You'd make me depressed.
Yes. Oh, I'm not depressed. You see, the telephone bell's going to go up again in December.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Yeah. So much for cheap telephone calls, eh?
Well, with the rental, you have to pay, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
With everything just going up, it's...
Jim, I'm off to lie down in a darkened room because you've made me depressed here. Good to hear
okay,
from you.
Frank, thank you for taking my call.
Okay,
bye.
Tell you what we'll have to do. We'll have to take a break because we've got Leslie waiting. Keith's coming through. They've got views on chewing gum. They've got views on all kinds of things.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
On the final lap of the programme, so to speak, let's go to the phone lines and talk to Leslie. And Keith, we'll come to you in a minute, but Leslie first. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
What's on your mind this morning?
Well, regarding new builds, what about new centres being built for disabled and special needs children and elderly folk? This council have closed Rosehill, Choices, Raydon Centre and many others.
Uh-huh.
And these people do not have a voice. And if they do petition or march in the streets, they're just ignored, which is a disgrace.
You're right, but you know, the sad thing about this, I put this to Councillor John Stewart, I think, on the programme a while ago, who was, at the time, the leader of the council, and he said that obviously the way things work, when you cut money, particularly from the social services budget, you are in effect, of course you are, you're cutting services to the people most in need of those services.
Yes.
And I cannot think why, you know, that has to be. It seems that according to the council, that's where you start, and I guess it's the easy option. But it's the people, it's the have-nots in society who suffer more than the haves, and that's really unfair.
Well, why wasn't the respite users from Choices offered another respite centre when they decided to close Choices? I mean, they were not offered anything. And as I've said before, these vulnerable people are now prisoners in their own homes. They can't get out. They can't afford taxis because the taxi car's been taken away from them, as I've said before.
Yeah.
But they've nowhere to go. And that's nearly 4 years now since Choices was closed. And they've still not been offered anything at all.
And in those 4 years, Leslie, the people who used to go to Choices, what's happened to many of them? I said I think that you go to Came Hill.
Yes, we started a new group there.
Yeah. What about those people that you were with in Choices? Do they not go to things like that?
Well, some of them do, but a lot of them would like to come, but because we can't afford taxis, as I said to you, we pay much, and they pay some as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very expensive. We haven't got our own minibus either.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of them would like to come, but we're very lucky we've got Came Hill Centre just now.
Yeah.
Just for half a day or so, but it's grand. It's getting people out their homes, and they're thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah.
But we need volunteers to come and help as well, because we don't have volunteers. We're just trying to keep it going all by ourselves.
Yeah.
We have applied for volunteers, but because of the the disclosures and things like that, that all has to be passed before we get volunteers.
Sure.
But we've got that, and as I said, we've got our coffee morning once a month.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's the transport side of things that we're sticky with, because we can't afford taxis for everybody. As much as we'd love to do that,
yeah,
we just can't do it, you know. And if we had a minibus, that would be great as well.
Okay, well, Leslie, these are things that we've covered often on the programme. I really wish, somebody would come out the woodwork and help you on this. We've got to move on now, but thanks for your call.
Thanks very much,
bye,
Frank.
Then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. We had Keith a second ago, but he's dropped off the radar. Where are you, Keith? Get on this call. Aberdeen 401035 is the number as we come to the final few minutes of the programme. Still time for you to get a call in on any of the issues of the day. I know that Keith wanted to talk about chewing gum, so maybe he'll get back to us on that one. Incidentally, while I've got a minute to spare here, I should mention that Bill Torrance, as usual, will be coming on after me, or at least after the news, at midday today on North Sound 2. And after that, we'll be hearing at 2 o'clock from Dave McDermott and Stephen McMenemy. And they're down at Ibrox for the Rangers against Aberdeen game. Gary Muircroft will be in the studio here at North Sound 2. So stay with us, because we've got a full afternoon of coverage of that game to see if the Dons can do anything at Ibrox. Let's go and see what's happening on the phone lines. Well, nothing at the minute, actually, because they keep dropping off the radar. Have we got a technical problem? No, we haven't. That's what Grant tells me anyway, and I believe him. Anyway, let's hear what your thoughts are. Aberdeen 401035 is the number to call in the final few minutes. Interesting points this morning on two particular issues. The chewing gum thing, can we ban it? No. Can we tax it? Probably not. And the other thing is the Triple Kirks development, £40 million worth of glass by the looks of it, and it's not certainly not made people very happy at the thought of that. Here's Evelyn. Evelyn, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Chewing gum? Are you a chewing gum fan?
No, not really. No, I've come up with an idea.
Okay.
Why do they not get in touch with the manufacturers?
Yeah.
And get something like an ingredient or something that stops the chewing gum sticking.
Ah, that would be great. You know something? Whoever invents that will make a fortune for themselves.
Yeah.
Non-sticky chewing gum.
Yeah.
So that it can be swept up like any normal rubbish.
Yeah, or just disappears with the rain.
That's a thought, isn't it? You know what it's like? It's like it's like it took them years and years to get kind of spreadable butter, because they discovered that by putting some olive oil into it, it made it more spreadable. Even if it comes out the fridge, wonder if they put olive oil. If they put olive oil in chewing gum, would that work? Maybe, you know, it wouldn't stick. It would just sit there.
Well, it's worth a thought, is it?
Yeah, it is a good thought, Evelyn. I like it. Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Let's go and speak to Sid. Hi, Sid.
Hi there, Frank. My point is, the council are elected by the majority to act for the majority.
Yeah.
So why don't they just go ahead, do what they think is right? They are paid to make decisions for the majority. So why the hell can't they just take a decision? That's it. Final. End of story. We're going to do it. Like the bypass, millions of people want the bypass. A minority of thickheads want it stopped. But yet we have to pay all this money because of that.
Well,
why can't they just say, do it and that's it, final?
It's the legal process, though, isn't it? That's why we live in a democratic country.
The democratic country says we go by the majority.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if I said there's a councillor there, he's been voted on by a majority, I don't like him,
yeah,
I'm going to take it to court. What happens?
Yeah.
So clear off. That's it, final.
Yeah, and as Ali or Jim, I think it was, that said earlier, Jim, I think it was, said that they've had four goes at it. Time to move on. Yeah.
I agree entirely with what your second chap said. Nothing will ever happen because the minority of people will go against everything it's ever said.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Sid, well, thanks for that point. We've just come at the end of the programme. Good to hear from you. Keep in touch with the programme, by the way.
Will do. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
There you are, then. Some interesting views this morning. Good discussion going on there. I like it when you get involved.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.